You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Ron Chmelis, reporter and columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Kristen Palpini, managing editor for Daily Voice Massachusetts. Ron, Kristen, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Over the last week, the Democratic primary for Massachusetts' 1st Congressional District took an unexpected turn. Challenger and Holyoke Mayor Alex Morris is facing allegations of inappropriate conduct, including dating college students while he was teaching at UMass Amherst. Morris, who is gay, says he never dated anybody he taught.
I am adamant and I will not apologize for being an adult and for having consensual adult relationships with other men. I will not apologize for using gay dating apps in Western Massachusetts.
Ron, the website The Intercept has reported that a student with the UMass College Democrats may have planted the story to curry favor with incumbent Richard Neal. Even if all of this is not true, as Morris asserts, what do you think of this twist?
Well, I saw The Intercept story, and it seems to change almost by the hour, and Morris becomes more militant about his defense with each time he speaks out. At first, he said that he was sorry he made people uncomfortable. I believe he said that. I see no evidence that Neal had anything to do with this directly. And I also think it will have zero effect on the race, because one thing I've noticed that Republicans, Democrats, liberals, and progressives and conservatives all have in common is they're very flexible on their view of ethics if they like the candidate's politics. So I think the people who like what Alex Moore stands for will still vote for him, and the people who don't will have another reason not to.
Kristen, some supporters of Morris feel this accusation and an attempt to recall Morris as Holyoke mayor are homophobic. What do you think of these assertions?
It's hard to understand people's motivations behind things like this. When the story first broke, it seemed pretty honest. But now as the story keeps going, we get all these new twists and turns. And kind of to Ron's point, you know, people are going to stick with the candidates that the politics that they know. Morris has been raising tons of money in this past week. People have just been rallying around him since these accusations came out. So has it hurt him? I don't know.
Morris says he raised $130,000 on Wednesday, and that's far above his one-day total, his previous one. So, Ron, is there a chance this whole thing has actually boosted Morris's campaign later in the race?
There is a chance. One word that I removed from my political vocabulary is never. I mean, people here, he can't win. Well, I see people who can't win winning all over the place. I personally don't think this helps him, but we don't know. This is a new variable. How people react to his reaction might have something to do with it more than what he actually did. But I don't rule out anything. And there are people who feel he's being picked on here, and those people are going to work maybe a little harder to get him through.
Kristen, as for Neal, he's been pretty quiet about this whole thing, denying any involvement with the accusations against Morse and telling the Berkshire Eagle he's remaining focused on both candidates' political records. Your thoughts on the congressman's approach?
I think it's smart. He needs to distance himself from this. I mean, not that he's been connected to it in any way, other than kind of vague accusations.
What about you, Ron? What do you think?
I think he has to stay away from it. He can't win by becoming a participant in this discussion. If he pushes this issue too much, people will say there is a homophobia issue, which I personally don't think is an issue with Neal. His best thing is to let it unfold with him on the side. He will get whatever reflected support he's going to get. Statements by him involvement are not going to help, and they may hurt.
Let's move along. A recent poll by WBUR found voters in Massachusetts are split over a ballot question on ranked choice voting. Under the system, voters would rank candidates in order of preference instead of a winner-take-all vote. And if approved, this would go into effect for statewide federal races. Kristen, Maine does this. Some communities around here have experimented with it. Is it a good idea or too confusing, as some feel?
I don't think it's too confusing. I think that the information around it has not really come out as much as we need to. I don't think we've talked about it as much in the press in larger community circles. But I think that ranked voting can be a real boon. It can really shake up this two-party system we have. With ranked voting, third-party candidates have more of a shot.
Ron, 27% of respondents said they were undecided about this, mainly because they didn't understand the system. Is this a sign right there that maybe it's too complex?
This is a good idea, in my opinion, and a bad year to do it. With everything else going on, this to me is not the best year to introduce a foreign system to a lot of people. I think there is a lot of merit to it, But 36% don't want it, 36% do want it. And as you said, a quarter of the people don't even understand it or are paying attention. I say put it aside for this year, look at it for the future, do some education in the media, and move forward, but not this year.
And finally this week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker unveiled a new color-coded map to help communities deemed at high or moderate risk of COVID-19 outbreaks, and the map helps to identify them, of course. Higher risk cities and towns will get help from the state as well as potential federal funding and enhanced testing and contact tracing. Ron, more localized help from the state. Is this a good thing to help curb outbreaks?
Well, I think the logic is there. He's taking the most hard hit areas and focusing on them. He goes with science and data, and that is what he's done in other areas. And I think there's logic to that. So, yes, I think it's a sensible approach and it does target areas that need it most.
Kristen, what do you think? You know, you look at this map, there's a lot of communities that aren't even in the color code. They're just white right now because the numbers remain low. But there are some places even around here in the yellow or red range.
Yeah, well, I think this is a good idea. I like that testing is a huge part of this. Communities that get designated as, spiking will get more testing and free testing. And I think we've all seen that when you test, when you know what's happening, you can better prepare and you can stop the spread better.
Ron, what about that testing piece? Do you think there's enough of that available right now as we look at maybe opening schools or colleges and things like that?
I'm not sure there's ever enough. I think they're doing the best they can. The technical answer to your question is probably no, but they're increasing the testing. The schools, we actually really don't have time to go into all the complexities of that. But given that, the more testing you can afford and the more places you can do it, the more access you can give, the better. And they're working towards that as best they can. I'm not sure we can ask for anything more.
All right, Ron Chmielewski with the Springfield Republican and Kristen Palpini with Daily Voice Massachusetts. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.